With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Oh my goodness. Seriously? Are you kidding me? God.
I was like,
Molly and I were just like visiting a little bit and
just having a chat.
Mr. Bleeping Nuclear Power Clock down there goes, oh, look. 30 past.
I love
and
you
zero
said visiting.
Second.
I wish Bang. I had a cup of tea and a cookie.
I like that phrase, visiting. Oh, hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. It's Thursday, the daily edition of Make Me Smart, or as we like to call it. Although somebody tweeted at us another name, right? But this is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, because that's kind of where we are.
This is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. The other name's going to come up later in the show, so no spoilers.
Oh, is it? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Cool.
Welcome to Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, where we will do a news fix, where we have just been a little worn down by the events of the week. We will nevertheless wade through the news, give you a little something to smile about, and just get out, like 15 minutes. We got this.
Yeah.
I love the efficiency, and yet it never feels, I mean, you can do a lot in 15 minutes, turns out.
You can do a lot in 15 minutes. And you know what? It's always leave them wanting more, right? 15 and out. Boom. Sometimes 18.
Boom.
Whatever.
Depends on the day. That's for tomorrow.
Well, yes. Well, yes.
All right, what you got?
So mine is a thing I saw in the New York Times this morning, which I thought was kind of cool. It's way off anything we've been talking about, but it's a piece by Farhad Manju, who writes a column for them, usually technologically oriented, but he went a little off today. He did a thing about cars, and he did some talking to some urban design firms in New York, one specifically. And basically, Farhad says, you know what? It was really nice during the pandemic when there were no cars around. And I think we should consider moving away from cars. We spend too much time on roads in our cars. We spend too much money on parking spaces, and we waste space on parking spaces and roadways. And here are two salient statistics from this piece. Number one, if you got rid of all the parking spaces in Manhattan and space devoted to cars, you could have an area equivalent to 4 Central Parks, which would be basically all of Lower Manhattan, which would be really cool for pedestrians and bikers and stuff like that to use. The other thing he points out, which I had kind of seen floating around earlier, but I had not been completely cognizant of, is that there are enough parking spaces in the city of Los Angeles, right? So parking spaces in the city of Los Angeles to make up, where is it? I had it here. It's 4 Manhattans. 4 Manhattans. L.A. County, sorry. Total space dedicated to surface lot parking in L.A. County, which is big, right? It's a big county. It goes up over the mountains and all that stuff. Is more than the size of 4 Manhattans, 100 square miles, which is bananas. I think it's simply bananas.
Yep.
Simply crazy.
It is.
And it's an interesting piece, a little bit of multimedia. You flip through it and they show you some schematics of how it might work. And look, we talk a lot, and here's my point. We talk a lot about how this economy is going to change because of this pandemic. Right? Some goods, some bads, some just will change. It would be cool if we could figure out how to make a change so we're not so dependent on cars. And if we could rely on mass transit, and yes, we have to have enough mass transit and we have to have space and all of that jazz. But it would be cool if this was one of the things that was going to change. I recommend it to you in today's New York Times. Check it out online.
This is like such a hopeful choice from you. I love it. We have actually in Oakland since the pandemic started.
What must people think of me?
I mean, I feel like this is also by your own admission, to be fair. Oakland has done this quiet streets, I think, or safe streets, quiet streets thing since the pandemic started, where they've closed off a whole bunch of streets in Oakland to car traffic. to make it easier and safer and nicer for people to walk around, because there's this sort of acknowledgement that like sidewalks aren't big enough when you have to socially distance. And people were sort of trying to like go around each other into the street when they walk around in sidewalk areas. And, you know, it's dangerous and there's cars and everybody was like speeding like crazy when there wasn't any traffic. And so they actually did close off, I think, something like 14 square miles of streets in Oakland and just make them pedestrian only. And there are conversations, too, about like in some areas as restaurants open for outdoor dining only, like places that didn't have it before, they just have these cramped little sidewalks. And they were like, what if you just close the streets and let the restaurants spill out into the streets and have outdoor seating there? I mean, we could use, like, I agree, and I think it would be wonderful. There's such a great opportunity to reconfigure without so many cars. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm in.
It'd be cool. I'm in, too. Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
That's funny. I'm also taking a departure today because I want to talk about TikTok.
Oh, because, okay.
Yeah. The kids are up in arms about TikTok because the U.S. government has been up in arms about TikTok, of course, and somewhat recently, and we just sort of like cruised on by it. But on Tuesday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo casually mentioned that the United States might be looking into banning TikTok. And this is not like a brand new conversation. TikTok is owned by the Chinese company ByteDance. There are some quite legitimate concerns about its data collection. And then, of course, there's sort of the ongoing question of whether it funnels data to the parent company and thereby the Chinese government. And all of a sudden, the administration is putting TikTok in the same sentence as Huawei and ZTE, which, of course, are telecommunications companies that they've locked out of government contracts and in some cases like banned from sale in the US. And so then today, and it was just kind of, it's geopolitical, but it's not lost on users of TikTok that having just taken a bunch of credit for disrupting the Tulsa rally and this kind of thing they've got going on now where they put a bunch of merchandise in carts and then abandon it because it messes up the...
Oh, wait, what's that? What's that?
On the heels of Tulsa.
In shopping carts on websites, right? Sorry, got it.
In shopping carts, yeah, specifically like Trump merchandise or MAGA merchandise.
Right.
They've been organizing this movement, which I just outed. But they already all knew about it. But so it's very interesting to hear... you know, newly politicized TikTok users talk about whether this is a crackdown on their speech, which is so complicated.
Oh, man.
It's so complicated because here it's like this Chinese owned company talk about a place that cracks down on speech. And the United States has these like rising tensions over trade and this and that. And then they're talking about TikTok in the context of, you know, potentially banning it as a threat to privacy and national security. And then today, in the midst of all of that, today there was like a bug, like something was happening where likes and views were broken on all these TikTok videos. So if you open a video, it would look like it had zero likes and zero views,
which
caused my son,
death.
Which is death, and also caused my son to just like come running down here and say, Mom, Ma. He does this new thing where he calls me Ma, which I don't know how I feel about that. Ma. Breaking news. TikTok's getting banned. What? What? I feel like I would have heard about that. No, TikTok Ma is getting banned right now. Likes and views are gone. We're not having it. Wow. So there's this little TikTok revolutionary set that is being moved to Revolution because they think that they're being cracked down on because they have a TikTok revolution. And it is fascinating.
Because it's the American government cracking down on the Chinese government. It's crazy.
It really is pretty crazy. But The Verge has a nice long piece on how such a ban might be accomplished. And the answer is like pretty much couldn't be. Like you can take it out of the app store and stuff, but you can't just like make it go away.
Right. So I was on TikTok for a while and I just realized it was just an enormous time suck. I would just sit there for, well, not hours, but lengthy minutes at a time just going, video is interesting. What's the next one? Oh, that one's terrible. Oh, what's the next one? And before you look up and it's 20 minutes later and you're like, oh my God, I got to go feed the dogs or whatever it is, you know? And so I got rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it's
kids
a,
are still on it, though, of course.
It is a time suck. But it's a fun one and an increasingly activist one. I think they have more power than they know. I don't know. I think it's so. Don't worry, guys. I'm on the TikTok beat. Me and my kid. We got this.
Ma. Ma.
Ma. Ma. Ma. They're banning TikTok.
All right.
We're already smiling.
There we go. There we go.
Make it official.
On the doggone ball. All right. Mine's a quickie. Pew. It literally made me chuckle. Somebody DM'd this to me. It's a thing he found, or she perhaps found, on Reddit. And it's it says, annual streaming price. Netflix, $108. Hulu, $72. Showtime, $132. Disney Plus, $84. Harvard University, $50,424. And I was like, oh, my God. It was great. It was great. Because that's what you're doing with that Ivy League education right now. Harvard's going to be all online.
Get it? Because it's streaming. Yeah. That is hysterical. Man. That's good. Way to go, Reddit.
It's hysterical if it's not so tragic and, oh, my God, what are we going to do with these kids' lives? But anywho.
I mean, I guess so. They'll be fine. They're in Harvard. They're in Harvard. They're going to be fine.
Well, yeah. I wasn't so worried about the Harvard kids.
It's cool. They can stream their $50,000 education for a few months. Mine actually is from yesterday, and it went by, and we made a bunch of jokes about it, but I just wanted to put a fine point on how hilarious it is, because I've had it open in like three separate tabs across multiple devices, and it makes me laugh every single time. And it's this story that came out yesterday in the Wall Street Journal about how theme parks that have reopened in Japan, just in case you missed it, are banning screaming on roller coasters because they're like, it spreads the aerosols and the droplets and it's bad. So you please ride them in silence. And they made this incredible video showing two executives from the Fuji-Q Highland Amusement Park. In their masks, just with like straight faces, riding the coaster, and the video ends with the message. The translation, at least, is, "Please scream inside your heart." Yeah. And
it's like
never
the most 2020 thing ever, right?
Making me laugh. It is literally like Japan has given us the phrase that we didn't know we needed for 2020, which is "Please scream inside your heart." With that, I wanted to officially rename today, just today's Hollowed Out Thursday, to Scream Inside Your Heart Thursday.
Scream Inside Your Heart Thursday. Yeah.
Because, is that happening? That's happening. Also, literally makes me laugh every time I see it. Scream Inside Your
Heart.
Fair enough. And we're done.
Okay.
See?
We're done.
Look at that.
We're done.
That was only 11 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. So, let's see. 11 minutes, 15, whatever. So, let's see. It'll take another three before we wind up. Number one, send us your thoughts, comments, questions, what have you. Voicemails are good. Emails are good. Take your pick. MakeMeSmart@Marketplace.org. We are live on YouTube tomorrow for Economics on Tap. Check out the Marketplace APM YouTube channel. 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. You do your own time calculations, depending on where you are, to catch that live stream. The link, of course, will be on the episode page in the show notes. The liner.
I'm so excited. I'm probably even going to take a shower.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Probably. I need to hedge that. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Hethcote produces video and really hopes I take a shower. He also makes the live stream happen with the help of our amazing, incredible, multifaceted intern, Ethan Peretz. And thank you to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
I don't know how these credits turned into a dump on Ethan Day, but whatever.
Charlton
Thorpe was in charge in DTLA today, pushing the buttons. He does. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday, also Daniel Ramirez, the executive director of On Demand, producing the show this week for us, as well as Tatar Nieves, the senior vice president and general manager, is Deborah Clark. There we go. There we go. Another one in the can.
Said,
told you.
She wants the t-shirt that says, "Make Me Smart, Scream Inside Your Heart."
Ooh,
it's great because it rhymes.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.